Warriors-Cavaliers. Game one of the NBA Finals is set for Thursday night. I want to thank you for listening into this Warriors sound coverage of the NBA Finals. I'm Lawrence Scott. We are at Oracle Arena as the Warriors with a practice on this Wednesday to get set for what's a Finals rematch. And we will hear from Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and head coach Steve Kerr, along with former Warrior who knows the Curry family well from his days with the Charlotte Hornets, Muggsy Bogues. But we start things off with what Steph had to say after practice.
I mean, I know we're a better team than we were last year just off of experience and what we've been through in this postseason. Better equipped to kind of handle the scene of the finals and you know, all that's kind of thrown at you when you get here. The first time, it's a whirlwind. And obviously, they have some guys healthy back that weren't available last year and are playing, you know, some really good basketball, kind of rolling through the Eastern Conference. So we have some similarities in how we play, obviously relying on the outside shot and how you free up guys to get good looks. Playing pretty high intensity. It's just a matter of who can impose their will early and often and try to gain control of the series as it goes through. But I know we're prepared for pretty much anything and have a pretty good game plan going into game one.
Back here, Steph.
Over on the aisle.
With them going smaller, do you expect Klay to play a bigger role in the offense this year as opposed to last?
He's a better player than he was last year, so he's obviously done that the entire season and in the playoffs up until this point, so I don't see why that would change at all. Like I said, another year under your belt and being here for the second time, I think everybody will be more ready for you know this stage and him included.
Over here on this side again.
Russ Thaler, MLSsoccer.com. Steph, between the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Final and Copa America going on in Santa Clara on Friday night, what's the buzz like in the Bay Area in general? And on a personal note, considering your relationship with Lionel Messi, what do you expect to see from him in this tournament and also the U.S. national team?
It's great for sport fans. I mean, regardless of if you follow each respective sport all year round, whatnot, like this is a great time to kind of tune in and be a sports fan in the Bay Area. So obviously the world's eyes are going to be here in Oakland, San Jose, Levi's Stadium. So it's fun. I was in an Uber yesterday and guy was talking to me about all three different things going on and. Just the excitement on him for that 10-minute drive he had, just kind of that in a nutshell speaks volumes about how much sports means to the fans around here. So excited to be a part of that, obviously, on the court here at Oracle. But I'll be watching the other two events as well.
In the center.
Steph, Tariq Majeddi, Afghanistan basketball. Did you just say you were in an Uber?
Of course.
Okay. Steph, during the playoffs, when you're shooting the ball, are there ever times in your head when you're thinking, maybe I shouldn't shoot this ball, or do you have a perpetual green light?
I mean, that's the trap you kind of get into if you watch us play. You might think there are certain bad shots that we take or tough shots or whatnot. But it's obviously a strength of ours to, shoot threes and but it's the way that we get them. If we come down, move the ball a couple of times, you might take a contested shot, but the ball's been hopping, so it's kind of a flow to it and a rhythm to it. It's not as chaotic as it seems to us when we're out there doing it. So there are times, where I might take a quick one and look at Coach Kerr or look at Draymond or Klay or whoever, and be like, yeah, that's my fault, bad shot. Because I know kind of the flow of how things are going on the floor. But that's a pretty small percentage for sure.
Joe, on your right.
Hey, Steph. Joe Varden from Cleveland.com. I have a couple questions I'm just going to throw out about you and LeBron. I asked Klay if he had thought that you had surpassed LeBron as sort of the face of the NBA. And the second one would be, do you think that your success over the last couple of years and, you know, last year's finals has kind of created a rivalry between you two that wasn't there? And then finally, should we all stop trying to compare the two of you just because you are such so different as players?
I'm not in the business of ranking or debating who's what. At the end of the day, it's about winning. And the fact that, you know, we won the championship last year and the last team standing, obviously is what was most important to me. Us being back here against the Cavs again, there's obviously storylines and whatnot that, as a basketball fan, are pretty cool when you have two teams fighting for the same trophy once again, and trying to, you know, play at a very high level to help our team get there. At the end of the day, that's all I'm worried about. It's kind of a it's real annoying for me to kind of be in, that's not what I'm playing for, to be the face of the NBA, to be this or that, or to take LeBron's throne or whatever. You know, I'm trying to chase rings, and that's all I'm about. So that's where the conversation stops for me.
Jay in the back.
Jay Donde, ESPN. Steph, for a guy born in 1988, what is your sense of the 80s rivalries, and how did you acquire the knowledge that you have about them?
I mean, been a fan of the league since I can remember, obviously, with my dad playing 16 years in the league, and he, you know, his first year was the year I was born, so I remember a lot of his career. But as a fan of the league, you might not have watched those series live or seen, you know, Magic and Michael play and Bird and all those guys. I didn't see them, you know, play live, but you watch all the documentaries, you watch all the stories about what went down and how they advanced the game of basketball and the high level of competition that it was. And that's inspiring for sure. So to be in a position now where we can create legacies and have memorable series like last series against the Thunder and now in the finals twice, like that's pretty special for me to be in that with my teammates and hopefully do some special things as well.
Chris Beck, right?
Steph, does going through what you did against Oklahoma City, you think, make you guys stronger entering these finals?
It gives us an opportunity to capitalize off the momentum for sure, but we have to take advantage of that. We have a lot of confidence right now, and we've been through a lot in the last week, and we've been challenged physically, mentally, with a lot at stake the last three games, so it's put us on edge for sure. But we have to bring that same mentality that got us out of the whole 3-1 to game one with, you know, the score 0-0. And if we can do that and play with that same hunger and that same fire as if we're playing an elimination game, I really, really like our chances. But that's going to be the challenge for us to, against a different team with a different game plan, bring that same mindset and then take advantage of home court in game one.
Got last three quick questions here, here, and then in the middle.
Steph, Ron Krejcik from the San Francisco Chronicle. One serious question. Draymond managed to play with emotion the last few games and still not cross the line. And obviously he's one flagrant away from a suspension. How do you help keep him in front of that line? And one good-natured question, what is the Uber driver's reaction when you step in the car?
I mean, Draymond's very aware of, you know, his play and his energy and his presence on the floor. So you don't want to get in the way of that. There are times if, you know, it's an emotional possession or a call or whatnot that you know could potentially flare up into something bigger. You want to try to calm him down or whoever. It's not just Draymond. It's just kind of the protocol for being teammates. If you see something going down, you try to get in the way and calm, you know, your brother down as quick as possible, keep his perspective on what we're trying to do, and move on to the next play the best you can. I don't think he's out there thinking about it too much, which we want because you want him to play free and play him like himself. So there is a fine line to it, but we'll roll with that. And what was the Uber driver? I can't really reenact it, but it is. It's pretty funny. I just kind of laugh and chuckle because they are surprised that I'm getting in there too.
Mark up front and then the middle, last one.
Steph, Mark Schwartz, ESPN, another lighthearted one for you. You have a lot of rituals pregame. You capped that whole routine with the shot from the tunnel. Can you talk about the genesis of that, how that began, and whether your success in making that shot ever determines your success after that come game time?
It started about 3 years ago. Me and one of our front office guys, Pat Sund, was, I don't remember exactly, I think maybe it was a shoot around. I can't remember the first time I did it, but I was shooting it and he walked by and we put a kind of funny bet on it. Basically about, you know, who's going to buy the next meal. And so I get two or three shots at it. And if I didn't make it, I lost. And if I made it, you know, I won. The usher that stands right there by the tunnel every game, he kind of got wind of it and wanted to give me some good mojo. So he'd like rub the ball and then give me a nice underhanded shovel pass so I could get a rhythm into the shot. And then from then on, it became kind of just a pregame thing I did as I walked through the tunnel. I give myself five shots to do it. If I don't make it, I go back into the locker room. I don't know the study of what our win-loss percentage is based on if I make it or not, but there's a little bit of me. It's like, dang, I missed it, and hopefully I make some shots in the game. But I don't think it's been a problem to this point.
Last one towards the middle.
Steph, one more lighthearted question. I assume you saw the Draymond video from last weekend in which he named all 30-plus guys picking
out of the draft. That was impressive, yes.
Yeah, I wondered what your reaction was, and were you surprised he got all the names?
I was very surprised because I was a seventh pick, and I sometimes forget one of those just for a second and then have to remember. But for him to do 34... but the crazy part was the way that he remembered some of them, because he remembered trades, he remembered who picked where. Sometimes he forget the name and then think of the, you know, Dallas had the 32nd pick, so who's Dallas to pick? Oh, and then he figure out the name. So whatever keeps you motivated, that's my thing.
All right, Klay Thompson and Coach Kerr coming up in just a moment. But now that conversation that we had today here at Oracle Arena with Muggsy Bogues, and we continue the conversation that started just a few years back. Take a listen. Muggsy, the last time we saw you was at the top of the Great Wall of China outside Beijing. The Warriors were in the NBA Global Games, taking on the Lakers in the preseason of three seasons ago. And can you believe what this Warriors team has done since then?
I tell you, it's amazing. It really is. And I'm just so thrilled and happy for the organization because new ownership, they was totally committed, bringing in Jerry West, icon like that, understanding what it takes to win. I mean, they went right away, coming up with nothing short, wanting to be, you know, the top of their profession. And then also adding players like Klay Thompson, you know, of course, Steph Curry, characters like that, and Draymond Green. I mean, when you got three guys like that who's committed, who's talented, who's skillful, who character based as well, I mean, you know, that's a good nucleus to build around.
So my favorite video I've seen in recent years is a flashback to a time we're at the old Charlotte Hornets games in the locker room. You're wheeling around Steph. He's a little kid. That was a family environment, you could tell for sure, in Charlotte. Do you sense a similar family environment here?
Absolutely. You know, we had 15 guys got along really well on and off the court. And I see that here with this organization. And that's where it starts. They're family-oriented. You can see how Steph and the kids, Riley and them, you know, join the post game. And but you see a lot of kids, players starting to do that. And that's good for the game. I mean, it makes it personal. Let folks know, you know, who they are. And seeing what this organization has done and getting back, you know, to this final game, which no one have given them any type of, you know, credit in terms of thinking, being down 3-1, but just the resilience, you know, just the determination, not wanting to go home. It just shows so much character in those guys.
When you saw a very young Stephen Curry, I mean, a baby, I mean, you were there when he was a baby. I mean, what did you see in that kid that you still see today?
Honesty, trustworthy, full of fun. And but, you know, Steph is not the typical NBA player. You know, he's one of them guys that, you know, because when we talk about NBA, I mean, it's a fantasy world for us. It really is a fantasy world. But he's a guy that got a chance to see it from the ground level, how his daddy did it, and he did it the right way, on and off the court. And he haven't forgotten that. He saw guys like myself, Vince Carter, the guys he'd been around, to do great things on and off the court, give back to the community. So that's who he is. And for him to be able to reach this pinnacle in his life and to have a family, you know, his kids, he's a God family kid. And that's what I'm relishing about. I'm loving that because, again, I knew him when he was a kid, he was a baby. And knowing what Sonya and Dell, how they raised Sadell, Stephen, and Seth, the morals, the values that they instilled in him, he's carrying it to this day. You know, and when, you know, Dell lost his father when we was playing, you know, Steph had an effect of that. You know, he understood how impactful that was on his daddy. And he now, and he remembered that. And that carried, you know, that carried in his heart for a long time. And it's showing up today. You know, he's still referring back to that, you know, pointing up to upstairs. And that's a beautiful thing to watch. So, I mean, I'm just a guy right now, just relishing this moment, happy for Dell and Sonya, because I know what they went through, I know what they've been through, and I know what it took to get to this point. And for them having their kids at this stage and to be drawing the fruit of the labor is well deserving. So I'm very proud and happy for them guys.
Last thing here, can you believe where this game has gone? I mean, I'm thinking, you know, you're going to play against, you know, Michael Jordan Bulls teams, and now you're seeing LeBron James and Stephen Curry and their teams facing off in an NBA Finals. I mean, the game has really become a global game. It's very special. You've been a part of this as an NBA ambassador for decades now. Can you believe where we are just with the NBA right now?
Well, that's the NBA. You know, the NBA is always going to be revolutionized, and that's the way the game is because it's always a trend. It's all about who's on top at that beginning, at the end of the season. Golden State was the last team standing. You know, they set a trend. Now you're talking about small ball a lot. You know, the three-point line has become such a major part of the game, and guys smaller than their positions starting to, you know, start to play out of their position. So now the game has become small ball. If OKC would have unfortunately won, you know, then you'd probably be talking about the big ball again because of the big bodies that they have. But just to see where the game is today, you got to appreciate it. You just got to really appreciate it. And, you know, everybody keep trying to compare eras, back in eras. Just enjoy this moment, you know. Comparing the eras, we had different types of players. The rules were different. You know, we was accustomed with playing, sending out superstars, the best player in the league, play above the league, you know, dominate above the league. Now we're seeing one of the best players in the game today dominate below the rim. So it's a change, you know, and we got to relish that, and we just got to, you know, just be in awe of seeing what we witnessed because this is something that we haven't seen before.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
No one will ever forget Game 6 of the Western Conference Finals and the night that Klay Thompson had 11 three-pointers, setting an NBA record for most three-pointers in a playoffs game. Here's what Klay had to say today after practice.
Part means the most to me is probably just our resiliency we, you know, showed last series. Being down 3-1, we never really panicked when our backs were the wall. We came together and we realized, you know, well, we can't get all back in one day or one night. It's going to be a process, and I think we're much better from it. Believe it or not, we faced adversity throughout the 73-win season, not like we did last round. So when there's times are tough, we don't shy from it. We embrace them.
This side on the aisle?
Jacob Palmer, San Francisco Examiner.
From your film study, what have you noticed? How is their new run and gun style similar to your own?
Well, obviously the volume of threes they shoot. They're playing with great spacing. They obviously have a guy who can get in the paint, or two guys who can get in the paint at will, in LeBron and Kyrie. That's similar to us because the ball, what I see with this team this year compared to last year, doesn't stick as much. You know, they move the ball a lot better. And luckily for us, we got such a versatile team defensively, I think. We'll be able to take away some of the action on the perimeter just because we got such a good, big, long switching team. But at the same time, just because you can switch screens and switch off-ball action doesn't mean you can relax because they got a lot of good cutters as well and just guys who know how to play the game.
Clay, having gone through the finals last year and everything that you guys did during the regular season this year, how much better a team are you than you were at this point during last year's finals?
Yeah, I think we're much better. I think we know what to expect on this stage, first off, and I don't think anyone's going to be nervous out there like we were last year. I think, including myself, a lot of guys are probably nervous for the first game, and it was obviously unfamiliar territory, but now we know what to expect, how every possession matters, and you know, easy looks can be harder to come by. Fouls can seem a little harder. And, I mean, guys are just naturally going to be a little bit more tired, obviously playing 100-so games up to this point. But I think we're way better equipped this year than last year for what we're going to see and what we're going to go through, especially mentally, too. Guys know what to expect. And even if it's our 12th to 15th guy, they're going to get called on and they're going to have to produce at some point.
Tim, in the back towards the center.
Tim Bondas from the Washington Post. Clay, you just kind of talked about it, but last year I know you had the concussion and some stuff during the playoffs, but how much more comfortable do you feel this year? Obviously, with Steph out, you've had to take on a bigger role, and it seems like you've really embraced it.
It's my second year in the coach's system as well, and I usually know where I'm going to get my shots at. I know my role on this team as far as having to defend and run around a ton of screens, but I feel a lot more comfortable. I feel like it's my drawing a blank here. It's my, sorry, fifth or sixth. Never mind. But, yes, a lot more comfortable. Sorry, long day.
Janie here in the front.
Clay, how have you seen Coach Kerr evolve over the last year? You know, and maybe something he took from the finals that to build on. And one other question. For the Bay Area to have the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Finals, I mean, can you feel a real buzz for the sports world here in this market?
I can. Since I've been in the Bay Area, I mean, we've been blessed with some great sports organizations and success. From when I was here, the Niners were so good. They were going to the AFC or no, NFC. They're going to that championship game every year. They're playing the Super Bowl. The Giants obviously winning the World Series, and the Raiders make another resurgence. And obviously with the Sharks and the Stanley Cup, it's really cool. I think it's a great time to be a Bay Area resident. And we obviously, you know, have some of the best fans in the world. Doesn't matter what sport. That's why it's so fun to win here, because people really appreciate you when you play hard and you win for them. They show love, and that goes a long way, and it makes us play even harder.
Far right.
Marcus Thompson, Barry News Group. Clay, can you talk about the relationship with Steph and the development over the years? And when did you realize you guys started, you know, becoming one in a sense?
I was always a fan of Steph, even at Davidson. Just the way he plays the game, it's hard to find another player like him. I always talk about to him how he's the only man here left from when I was a rookie. And so I can imagine how he feels being here for his seventh year. It must be crazy. And we just continue to grow every year. I think I learn from him. He learns from me. We play each other's strengths. He knows where I like the ball. He knows, you know, when I'm coming off a screen. He knows all the timing and everything. And I think my fifth year with him, just I think we still have room to grow, believe it or not. And when it's all said and done one day, hopefully we can consider one of the better backcourts to play this game. I mean, it's a big statement, but we've talked about it before. I think it would be really cool because, you know, obviously we both shoot the ball well, and I think we both really have a passion for this game. That's why he's where he's at, and motivates me to get to his level.
Carl here on the left.
Clay, looking back at last year's finals, it's pretty amazing to see that you only scored 5 points in one game, 9 in another, 12 in one. What were they doing to you defensively, and what's changed now where that type of defense does not work against you? Because obviously Robertson covered you really well in the last series, and you were still able to get your points.
Yeah, I give him Robertson credit. He's a good defender. He's long. He's a great leaper. Great shot blocker, and he made me work for all the buckets I got. But last year, I mean, you know, at times I would defer to my teammates. They were playing great. Andre had a big guard him half the time, and he was going to work. And, you know, I don't expect him to guard me any different this year. I expect him to play the same way on me, which is try and take away my three-point shot, run me off the line, make me, you know, finish at the rim, which is fine. I think I've gotten better at, you know, getting in there and making the right play. So for me, it's just about staying aggressive, doing what I've done these whole playoffs on both sides of the ball. And, you know, whether I score 5 points or 30 points, as long as you get the win, it doesn't really matter.
Joe, on your right.
Hey, Clay. Joe Vardon, Cleveland.com. I'm not sure if you look at it this way, but when it comes to the face of the league, like the first guy that comes to mind when people think of the NBA, do you think that Steph has surpassed LeBron for that?
I don't know. That's a tough question. I think, honestly, it might be regional. I don't think people in the East get to see Steph play a lot because of the time difference. But the true basketball fans will probably stay up and watch him because he's such a spectacular show to watch. But, I mean, LeBron's been doing it for, I think, 13 years now, 12, 13 years. I don't think there's just a face in the NBA. I think there's faces, and because I think it's such a star-driven league, and players really make the league because there's so many great athletes. But, you know, I think it might be easier for the common fan to relate to Steph because it's hard to be, you know, 6'8", 260 and have a 40-inch vert and run up and be the fastest guy on the floor. So, I mean, the casual fan might relate better to Steph because he doesn't have that athletic, just God-given ability. But it's tough to say. It's just personal preference, honestly.
Mark?
Clay, Mark Spears, ESPN. You have a great story on Steph as far as his competitive nature. And also, what do you think about some of the slaps he's gotten this year or hate that he's gotten this year?
I mean, I kind of expected it because he's doing it so differently, you know, that it's kind of – obviously, it's unconventional what he's doing. It's never really been seen before, a guy who can – dominate the game of basketball being 6'3", 190 pounds, and plays with such great poise. And, you know, like I said before, not the greatest leaper, not the fast guy out there, but he just does it off skill and will. And that's why, you know, the hate he might receive or the skepticism from, you know, past players or media, I think it just comes with the territory because they can't believe their eyes. They're like, how is he getting those shots off? Or a guy's just that bad at defense. He's slow. He can't go around nobody. But when you go out there and play him, you know, you realize how slippery he is with the ball, and he just understands angles, and he's just such a cerebral player. And I think you got to experience, you know, Steph Curry out there to really appreciate what he does. But I think Steph's one of the best in the game at just blocking all that off. I think, you know, you don't get to his level without having great mental toughness. Obviously, early in his career, he went through some injuries. I think it made him better for it. He really appreciates what we have here now. And just because he's a two-time MVP, I see him work just as hard as he did when he was in his third year here. That's and it motivates all of us. So, and I mean, I think the hate and all that, it's going to come, whoever it is. That's just I'm probably going to hate on the younger generation too when it's all said and done. Because, I mean, my father still does it. He says we're soft these days, in this day and age. But I think that's just natural.
Fred, last one.
Yeah, Clay, Fred McLeod, Fox Sports, Ohio. Six of you guys played with RJ when he was here. Any memories of him as a teammate, et cetera?
Yeah, RJ was a great teammate, and he was a great worker too. I mean, I remember my second year, he wasn't even getting that much playing time at the time, but he was still being there early every day, getting his shots up, playing one-on-one. And I'm actually really happy to see him here in the finals. You know, he
all he wants to do is win. That was what was great about RJ's. He puts winning first. He doesn't care about his numbers. He doesn't care about, you know, the endorsements and all that. He just wants to win. So I'm happy to see that pay off for him. At the same time, I want to beat him. And he's had a great career as well. So I'm happy for RJ.
All right, finally, we wrap things up with Coach Kerr and his thoughts as we head into Game 1 on Thursday night.
I think we are mostly the same in terms of personnel. I think we have more confidence having been through the whole run last year and then what we've gone through this year and the adversity we've faced with injuries. So I think we're stronger at our core, but we're very similar as a basketball team. I think they are dramatically different. Obviously, they're healthy, but not only are they healthy, they've changed their style. You know, they tried to grind us to a pulp last year playing big, and they were slowing the ball down, slowing the pace down. This year, they've added Channing Frye. They're not playing Mozgov. They've got shooting all over the place, and they're playing a much faster pace. So it's really a much different team than we're seeing.
Diamond on the right.
Diamond Leung, Barry News Group. Steve, Bob was saying that you called him before making the decision on Andre and Harrison, just kind of to talk things through. I was curious, how difficult of a call was that to make for your staff? What are the advantages of starting Andre? And just between us, what are you going to do?
I like the first part of the question. I'll answer that. I won't tell you what I'm going to do, but the thinking is, you know, do we really want to change anything? We've gone 2 years with Harrison starting, and it's been a pretty good 2 years. So do you go away from something that you've been successful with? On the flip side, it's the playoffs. You can make adjustments like we did last year against Cleveland, putting Andre in the lineup, and sometimes those adjustments are good. So that's kind of what you're weighing is, you know, the positives and the negatives going in when you're talking about an adjustment to the lineup, and you weigh it and you make your decision and you hope for the best.
Mark, here in the front.
Mark Spears, ESPN's Undefeated. Coach, can you talk about just Steph, how he seems to be motivated anytime there's been a slight or a dig that he's faced this season? Have you noticed that? Or?
Yes, yes. Steph is extremely competitive in a very humble way. He doesn't have to say anything. He does his talking through his play, basically. But he definitely is motivated by things that people say about him or things that he reads or anything like that. The guy is as gifted and skilled as he is. I think one of his greatest attributes is his competitive fire. And a lot of people don't know that because of his demeanor, but he's an incredible competitor.
So do you think his background, the school he went to, kind of brings him back to that, is kind of where he gets that drive from?
You mean the fact that he wasn't recruited by the big schools? Yeah, I'm sure that was part of it. He's kind of always been the underdog, and all of a sudden he's the two-time MVP. That's a strange situation. Hardly any players have ever done that. I guess Steve Nash would be the other that would come to mind right away. But, yeah, Steph is he's just got his head on straight, great family background. He's got great perspective on the world and how fortunate he is. And he seems to bring the right blend of rationality and confidence.
Mark, second row.
Steve, Mark Schwartz, ESPN. In the same way that Steph maybe gets some motivation out of some of the slights that he's received, maybe some other players on your team also are fueled by that sort of thing. Can you talk about the ones who are most fueled by being told they're not going to be good enough, they haven't been good enough, and they're not going to win a series or a championship?
Mark, if you want to talk about Draymond, just ask about Draymond. I mean, I assume that's who you're talking about. Yeah, every player is different. You know, every player needs to motivate himself however he needs. So Draymond finds any little slight to get himself going, and that's great. He's our emotional leader. He's our slightly crazy, gives us the edge type guy that you need to compete at the highest level. And whatever he needs to do to motivate himself, he does.
Back right.
Good afternoon, Coach Kerr. My name is Eduardo Agra from ESPN Brazil. And I would like to hear from you your thoughts about the contribution of the two Brazilians that you have on the team, Anderson Varejão and Leandro Barbosa.
Anderson and Leandro are fantastic, great teammates. They bring a lot of joy to our locker room, a lot of humor, a lot of energy. They both play support roles. They haven't played a ton of minutes in the playoffs, but the minutes they do play are very important. I thought when they were out on the floor together in Game 7 against Oklahoma City, they had an enormous impact on the game. Anderson played 1 minute and 51 seconds, and he had two assists, a basket, and he took a charge, and his hair was flying everywhere, and he was howling these emotional shrieks and yells that was, you know, they were getting the crowd going and his teammates going, and I thought the game changed when he went out there. LB's been the same way for us, you know, last year and this year. Instant energy, and they are both loved by their teammates.
Right here in the front.
Janie McCauley from AP. What is this like for you the second time around as a coach and everything that you went through this year to get back to this point? And do you reflect on anything that you learned last year in the finals that you can take?
Yeah, you know, my before last year, the previous time that I'd been in the finals was as a player in 2003. So 12 years passed before I made it back. And the difference in the media setup, the amount of media, the requirements, you know, media being allowed in practice, having to practice in the arena, totally disrupting this, the kind of the daily schedule that you're normally on throughout the regular season. It's all very different. And so last year, I think it was a little bit of a shock to our guys' system to have to change our routine. This year, we've been through it. We're used to it. I don't think it'll bother us.
Fourth row on the right.
Coach, Lisa Su from Tencent. First question, did you see any different or mentality improvement from Draymond Green since the Game 3 to Game 7?
Just improvement in his play? Or
I mean the mentality part.
Oh, his mentality?
The instant, you know, from the Game 3 to the Game 7,
he really,
you know, step up. Did you see any different from him?
Yeah, I thought Draymond did a much better job of not complaining to the referees. After Game 3, he was sort of on probation, you know, and so he when he had bad calls, he may have discussed those calls with the referees, but he did it in a better way, and he didn't get himself in any trouble. And he knows he's got to be somewhat careful because of the technical foul rule and the flagrant stuff as well.
And then second question, you were saying the two teams definitely going to play faster than last year. So what do you expect from the big guys of your team?
Well, we have to be ready to cover a lot of the floor. They have three-point shooting bigs with Fry and Love, so we can't lose sight of them. But we've got to try to protect the rim as well, and that's a big challenge. Just like teams that play us with our shooting and spacing, it's hard to cover all that court. But that's what this series seems to be about. Both teams are shooting a lot of threes and trying to run, and it'll be a very difficult defensive matchup for both teams.
John in the middle, and then Joe over here.
John Schumann, NBA.com. Coach, you talked a little bit about their floor spacing bigs. Does
How does that affect the way you defend LeBron? Is it harder to make him a jump shooter when he's got so many weapons around him? He's shooting less from the outside than he ever has. I wonder if the supporting cast has something to do with it, do you think?
For sure, yeah. I mean, last year we generally were playing against two bigs, Mozgov and Thompson, so we were able to help more around the paint and force more jump shots. And it will be much more difficult now with Fry and Love. So our tactics will have to change a little bit.
Joe, last one here on the right.
Joe Varden, Cleveland.com. Hey, Steve. Kind of along those same lines, LeBron had such big numbers personally against you guys in the finals last year under a far different set of circumstances with his team. Is he more dangerous or more difficult to guard when he's got this kind of help around him?
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. Because he has more space, he has more room to roam, and he's so skilled, he can do anything. So he can kind of pick his spots when and where to do whatever he wants to do, whether it's shoot or drive or pass. So there's more room out there for him. They're very comfortable. They've been playing at a high level, and they've got a good group going.
All right, that's the scene here from Oracle Arena on this Wednesday as we get set for Game 1. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Lawrence Scott. This is NBA Finals coverage on Warrior Sound.